Hello, everyone, and welcome along to Northumberland FA podcast series from the sidelines with myself, Gary Middleton. Special guest today, Steve Harrison, current Middlesbrough Academy YDP lead coach. And we're going to chat today around coaching the teenage footballer. Steve, it's great to have you on from the sidelines today.
Cheers, guys.
So Harry, you're currently at Borough. Do you just want to mention to everyone your current role at Middlesbrough and just a brief sort of outline of your coaching journey to where you are now?
Yeah, no problem. Thanks for having us, Gaz. My current role at the moment, I'm working at Middlesbrough Academy, overseeing the under 15 and 16s in youth development phase. I've been here now since the back end of August, loving it, brilliant club. A little bit about my journey, I fell out of the game when before I was 20, I went into part-time football. And during that time, I did my coaching badges. And my first bit of coaching really was, I joined a grassroots team in Haydon Bridge, just outside Hexham with a friend. And that was my first exposure to coaching. So leaving the game of football and going into like a bit of coaching, it was really tough, I've got to say, but great memories. So I did grassroots for a couple of years. And while I was doing the grassroots, I know I'm a B license with the FA. During my time with the B, I reached out with a guy called Wayne Walls, who works at Sunderland, and asked him to just go in and do a bit of shadowing, which he agreed to. So whilst working in the grassroots stuff, obviously playing part-time football, having a job, I was also at Sunderland just doing some observations. And I did that for about a year before a role came up in the development centres, which I got through Jed McNamee, who was the academy manager at the time. So I then moved forward from grassroots, which I would have kept it going, but time was a bit of an issue, obviously, with playing football, coaching, and having a job. I worked in the development centres for over a year. From then, a position opened up in the Academy of Light at Sunderland, doing the under-10s in the foundation phase, which I took on. So I worked in the foundation phase for a couple of years. I then had different roles in the Academy at Sunderland, working across the U12s up to U15s, which was great exposure. I found myself then more or less doing the 12s for 4 years at Sunderland Football Club. I then got to a point where work took over and I was finding it really hard to get across to the academy at Sunderland because I was just a part-time member of staff. So I then applied for a job at Newcastle. I joined Newcastle as the lead under-12s coach, initially part-time, and then I went for a full-time job in the pre-academy at Newcastle, which I got, which was like an incredible job, really tough, but really enjoyable. And then from there, I found myself gravitating and moving up towards the under-14s, which I did for 3 years. So I've worked across different academies. I've done grassroots. I've done foundation phase. I've done youth development phase. I've had a real good variety of different age groups since I started coaching.
All right, it's interesting that you said you've done some work in the foundation phase, and now, yeah, you've really cemented your coaching within the YDP, the youth development phase. Is there anything specific about working within this phase of player development from a personal point of view?
Yeah, I think from a personal point of view, like working in the pre-academy, it was like really fun, but really demanding. And I'd encourage anybody who starts coaching to start in the pre-academy. So I think it's the best education you can get around like understanding players and learning about players and the technical demands. I then went higher up and I did a little bit senior coaching with a friend up in the non-league, which was good. But again, I just found myself in the YDP, I feel that suits me best. It suits my skill set. I think it's a really important age. And I think the players in the YDP are desperate to learn. And I love that about it. All the players are desperate to learn and get better. And what I find is I connect really well with players. I think that's a really important skill, like building that connection. I think, you know, they're all there. Whenever I've coached players in the YDP, they know exactly what they want from the game. And I feel I can really help them and make them become better players in a really challenging environment. I think also, you know, people have a perception that the YDP becomes serious, but you've also got to remember, like, they are still young children. So again, I think I've had a taste of different age groups and I just find my skill set and how I am with players really suits the youth development phase.
Is there any key strengths that you think you require in coaching in this age group?
Yeah, I do. I think, like, obviously, there's so many strengths, but I think the key strengths that I would say, guys, would be patience is vital. Then you've got to be really patient with playing in your development phase. There's so many changes going on in their life. So, for example, currently I've got some under 16s who are going to be going through GCSEs. That's a massive part of their life. Obviously, growth and maturation. Lads lose, you know, the ability to, like, balance and coordination. It's the fastest period of growth that they have. So you've got to be really patient with the players. Also linked to that, you know, mood swings. I think players initially, when the younger one impress like parents and coaches, then they're really concerned about their status within the group. So you've got to be patient and kind of like think about what are they going through now. I think that links to like empathy. Put yourself in that player's situation or that person's situation. How well do you relate to that person? So I think you've got to show like high levels of empathy. I think the ability to support as well is vital. Everybody's different. So I think the way you support different players is always going to be different. So you've got to find what makes them tick, what's key to them, what's really important, what's significant to them. I think that then helps how you support the individual through what can be a really challenging like time in the youth development phase.
Mm. And I suppose you've touched on that a little bit, but building relationships with these players, you know, that's so important, isn't it? I suppose my question is, how do we do that?
See, I think for me, that is the most important part. I think it's really important that you connect with players. So I think engaging conversation, it doesn't always have to be football. So what I try and do with all my players is learn more about them, their family, you know, their brothers and sisters, how school been. So you can plan your collisions. So you might have a corridor collision with a player. So you know they're coming down the corridor. Put yourself in a position where you're going to bump into them. All right, how are you doing? Good day at school? How was numeracy? And then all of a sudden you get that connection. Or, for example, you know, one of my players, his brother's been playing on the weekend. Seen your brother, he was class, wasn't he? What did he do really well? So I think you get on a level and you build that connection. I think linked to that as well, guys, I'd also say to any coaches, the power of kindness is massive. So I think if you invest in the person and you're kind to the person, that allows you to be more demanding of the player because the player understands that you're connected with the person, you're interested in them. So when you do your training sessions, you can be high demand, you can be really demand on them as a player. And then they understand that actually he's being tough on me because he believes in us, he likes us. But if you don't have that, if you're not kind to the players and you're always demanding, they can sometimes think, does he actually like us? Why is he being like this with me? So I think it's really important that you are kind because that allows you to get closer in terms of having more demands on the player. And I think I'd say to any coach as well around like, you know, engage the player. So listen to their interests, but then make sure you visit that interest. So you've asked a question and you've got to know them. Make sure at some point down the line, maybe a week, 2 weeks, a month, but by revisiting that conversation, that'll connect to them again and they'll think, actually, you remember what I told them. Mm-hmm. And I think the next part of that is, share your story, so tell them things about yourself. So again, like they're taking interest in you. And I think that always helps in how we build a relationship with the player and the person.
Brilliant. Are the needs of the players at this time of their lives are so important. How do we cater for all the different needs to support all the players at all levels?
It's a tough one, isn't it? I think, like, for me, I'll just explain how we do it at Middlesbrough, really, with our MDT, so our multidisciplinary team. You know, for me as a coach, how about cater for their needs? We have what we call an ILP system, so an individual learning plan for every player. So at the beginning of the season, we'll sit down and, you know, we'll say, what do you want to get better at or what do you need to get better at? So we'll have a discussion, but they'll lead it and they'll tell us what they want to get better at to help their long-term development or could be short-term development. And what we do is we track that every 6 weeks with our appraisal system. So we ensure that within the team, every individual player is individualized to support their development. And in addition to that, we also look at the team, but also how they fit within the team. And that helps us develop the individual on the grass and off the grass. I think linked to that, we have an S&C team who look after the physical needs of the players. They monitor growth and maturation. If someone gets injured, they do the rehab. In addition to that, we have an analysis, which we do. So again, linking to the ILP, We'll do stuff on the grass to help them with their individual learning plan, but we also put clips together. So we'll capture moments within the game that they can see, so then we can give great detail on areas they can actually improve on or what they've done really well. We also use the analysis for the post-match and pre-match work. So players have an understanding on a match day, what we're looking for, what we're going after, but also we'll review it afterwards to help them. Education. So within the MDT, we have like the education. We do a David East program where the players come out of school. We'll do individual clips. We'll get the school work and they'll also get a session. We sometimes do some position specific work within that, looking at the techniques behind the position. We also have the physios who do the rehab and the injuries. And then we have a psychologist who just works with individuals, anyone who like, you know, needs to build on confidence or build on resilience. That's how we have like our approach to caring for all individuals. But I think the key thing here for a coach really is within your team, you've got the individuals. How do you individualize that person to help their development? So think of little strategies within the game. You know, like if you want to develop someone, what do you need to get better at? And when they're actually making progress, how would you recognize it? How do you celebrate it? So I would say we have a really holistic approach to the individual.
Yeah, fantastic, Steve. Steve, during the foundation phase, players develop the love of the game. I suppose as coaches want to continue to engage with players through the YDP. On that journey, how do you instill that within your players, that continuous love of the game as they're coming through that very difficult period of the game? There's other challenges out there, isn't there? You know, when we're getting to 14, 15, 16.
Yeah, it's a really tough one, you know, and I think like the big thing for me on that, as I would say, would be positive. Be that positive person, because I think kids at this age have a lot of structure. So at school, they're structured in a classroom, they sat down, listen to the teacher, they'll jump in the car, they'll be listening to the mum and the dad, they'll get to the academy. And I think it's really important that we'll get to the training session, which is whoever the coach is, and it's be positive in everything that you do. You know, like I think the way we ask questions or we make statements is really important. So for example, you know, for me, if my player's having a bad game, for example, comes off at half time, you know, there's two ways of approaching it. I could say, not good enough, gotta be better, nowhere near. Or you can say, tough first half, yeah, it was, but then you've got 40 minutes to have a better second half. So the mindset becomes, oh, actually, I've got 40 minutes to put this right, as opposed to thinking about the 40 minutes that's just been. I think linked to that, what I'd say is always give players a choice. People want choices, players want choices. So for example, whenever you're doing like a training session or working with the players, try and give them a choice. All right, lads, do you want to work for 15 minutes? Do you want to work for 12 minutes? It's small, but it's still a choice. Go on, lads, do you want to do a possession or do you want to do an unopposed possession? And as soon as you give them that choice, you get buy-in. And once you get buy-in, they feel empowered. And when they feel empowered, they want to express themselves. So I think giving them choice is really important. And I think also make players feel individualized. So once the player knows that you're doing things to help them, they want to learn, they want to get better. And I think then on the back of that, when you have individualized them and you've set them tasks, keep revisiting it within the session so they know that you're watching them. And I think that then just helps them stay connected to what they want to get better at. And I think that helps their love of the game continue. So frame everything, not everything at all, but frame most things in a positive way. So I do think that it's easy to be negative. And I think like by being positive and not everything being really serious helps them like stay in love with the game.
Steve, what's your thoughts on game formats? And I suppose chasing to get to 11v11 at 13s. And the experimenting for the players at possible smaller formats of the game. Instead of sort of pigeonholing players to specific positions, how have you done that in the past?
Yeah, I think it's a great topic at the minute. Just seeing Germany sort of changed all their formats, how they work. So I'm sure I read the other day that, you know, in Germany now at under 6 and 7, they're playing 2v2, 3v3s. When they get to 8 and 9, I'm sure it's like 3v3, 5v5s. So what we started doing at the club, for example, we had Rangers down on the weekend. in all under 13s, played 2 6v6s, and then went 11v11. So they're getting a variety of them formats. I think for me personally, I look at it, you've got to be different formats to different players. And as we know, every player in the academy is different. So every player's in a different players in different formats. So I think you've got to not be so stubborn thinking, right, it's this age, we'll go 11v11 now.
Yeah.
I think what you've got to do is within your club and within your teams is recognise what do these players need. So I think like even at 15, 16 level now, we always look at like the game within the game. So 4v4s, 5v5s, 6v6s. You know, I think we do 11v11 at 15 and under 16 because they need 11v11. I think we try and be smart in the way we set up training to get some smaller formats for different returns. I think, you know, at Middlesbrough, again, we are being more in how we do the formats. I don't think we are fixed mindset. I don't think we think, right, it's under 12, it's got to be 11v11. I know we have been doing like 4v4s before 11v11 games or sometimes going 9v9, 8v8. So for me personally, I think the smaller the pitch, the more touches, the better you become. And I think, again, when you go into these 11v11 formats, there's a danger that a coach wants to develop their tactical knowledge. But you've still got to look at, we've got to build skill in the players. How will we build in skill in the players? Because ultimately, for me, the best case scenario is we're putting a player in any position and they have the skill set to deal with the ball in any scenario. So I think it's really important that we don't get obsessed with moving to the 11v11 game too fast.
Steve, what was the feedback from the players in that like festival format when you played smaller sided games, 6v6 as an example?
It's interesting, you know, because we played it. It was great what they did. But a lot of the players, when they went to 11v11, were really tired. So in terms of the physical return, it was a really good physical return because you got more minutes. And I think what we found is in the first two games, the intensity was really high. And there was very little time on the ball. So it really stretched the play in terms of the receiving and the awareness. And going into the 11v11, the physical play dominated. So in the smaller format, the technical players thrived and loved it. They loved the challenge. But then when they jumped at the 11v11, I think it became like a challenge in terms of physical, like who can keep going. And I think the quality went down. Naturally, the tighter you are, the quality will go down. But I think the players, they loved the 6v6, but when they got the 11v11, they found it more like challenging because of they put so much into the 6v6.
Interesting. All right, individuality that will really promote at the younger age groups, that still needs to be preserved and be promoted within the YDP to encourage them skillful players that we want in the game.
Definitely. I'm a big fan of this personally. For me, I think like we can get wrapped up with formations and a way of playing. And what I've found, like working with 15 and 16 year olds, like we'll have a way of pressing, we'll have a way of playing out. And when we press, a press can be broken at any time by one bit of brilliance. So if you've got a player who's really good on the ball, can receive and beat a player, and he beats his man, all of a sudden he presses like it's gone, it's redundant because they're breaking on as fast. So we're really aware of that. And what we try and do in our training sessions is we incorporate 1v1s, 2v2s, 3v3s, 4v4s, and we do overloads and underloads, so 1v2s, 2v3s, because we feel it's really important that we don't neglect the skill. I think, you know, we can get an obsession of like our teams playing like lovely football, connecting passes. But ultimately, like, we've always got to go back to, like, which players have high potential and how we help them get to the next level. So for us, that's building our program. We're big on, like, building technique. So just going back to the day release program I spoke about earlier, our day release program is all based on techniques and receiving. And we do loads of, like, 2v2, 3v3. And what you find, guys, is the noise levels go through the roof. Competition goes through the roof. Lads love it. So like they're loving it, they're driving it. So as a coach, you're facilitating it and you're just helping them blossom under like, you know, under pressure. So yeah, I think it's really important that even when you go to 13, 14, 15, 16s, you have a real focus on individual skill.
Interesting, Harold, what you've just said there around the players blossoming. And that comes down to the knowing the group, knowing what makes them tick. And your practice design around that for the players to go out there and blossom, isn't it? Mm-hmm. I think that goes for any in any coaching environment, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think your practice design is key. I think within it, it's like, I think there's a perception in coaching where you'll draft up a session design, you'll go to the session, you'll coach the players, they would have learned something to go home. It's never that simple. Like within your practice design, you've got to ensure that like your players don't touch the bar. Nothing really should be achievable for your best players. And I think like whenever you plan, always plan for what next, what potentially could happen. So, you know, throughout your session, the levels are going up and they're not stagnating. If you can move the levels up within your session, that means the lads are getting pushed and pushed and pushed. So I think it's a critical part of the design practices.
Yeah, and you know, my next question was around the environment, but I think we've sort of touched on that, haven't we? That environment is right if you've done your, you know, your due diligence around the practice design and knowing your players and what they want.
Yeah, I think you've got to be consistent with that as well, guys. You know, with the environment. So, for example, you know, I think naturally at this age, there's so many different factors, but players aren't going to always play well. So as a coach, if you generally believe that you want players to, you know, have pitch personality, excite, express themselves, you've got to be really consistent with your messages. So with that, what I would say is if I see a player make a mistake three times and that's a pattern, I might then speak to the player and, you know, what you see and why have you made that decision? What else could you have done? But if someone like makes a mistake, it's the right intention, but doesn't execute it, I think you've got to praise that because you've seen the right thing. So, and then I think linked to that, you'll have your cultural architects, as we call them, like your energizers, the players who drive the environment. Like, don't be afraid to like delegate and give them little, you know, you might say to one of your players, look, I want you to read, like, you know, encourage your teammate when he does something well. Because like those players will help raise the atmosphere. And the thing, mm-hmm. what you find is, as a coach, it's your session, but use the players to also lift the environment as well. And once you start getting players doing peer-to-peer, I think it goes to another level.
Yeah. Harold, what would be a top three takeaway tips from your experience of coaching in this youth development phase?
Yeah, it's an interesting one, this later. Top three. I think top three tips, I would say, you know, working the YDP phase, for me, and this is just my personal opinion, is never judge too early. Don't judge players too early. Because if you discard players on the current performance, I think that's quite dangerous. Because obviously we're going to, you know, go for maturation. Obviously, when we look at the player, we think the brains might not have developed. I think you've got to be really, you've got to see the future. So whenever you're looking at a player, don't discard them. Look to the future. Do you see potential? How can we unlock that potential? So I think sometimes, you know, we look at performance over potential and it's quite quick to dismiss players. And I think if you do dismiss a player in the development phase, they'll never forgive it. They'll never forget that. So you've got to be really careful judging too early. Mm. I think another one would also be a second one. That's one. Coach the skill. All right. So I think like certainly the coach has got to park our egos and don't get obsessed with tactics. Coach the skill and focus on the individual because we're there for the individual. Mm-hmm. And I think it's really nice if your teams are playing lovely, attractive football. But as long as you know that you're working with the individual and you're seeing improvement in them, that's enough.
Yeah.
Because that individual is gonna develop and he's gonna, you know, maximize his potential. So don't get obsessed with tactics. The last one as well is just love what you do. If you love what you do and you're genuine, you're authentic, the players will want you. And when the players want you, they'll then get a really good response. And what you'll find is they'll want to learn and they'll want to like excel and they'll want to impress. So just be really genuine with your emotions and how you are towards them.
All right, that was class. Top man, thank you very much for joining me today on From the Sidelines. Discussing coaching the teenage footballer. Good luck at Middlesbrough and your rest of your coaching journey moving forward, Steve.
Cheers, guys. Been a pleasure. All the best, mate.